Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Welcome back to The Bulwark Goes to Hollywood. My name is Sonny Bunch. I am the culture editor at The Bulwark. I'm very pleased to be joined today by Renee Reyes. Renee, since 2004, has conceived and produced over 800 public programs for the Paley Center for Media. Mr. Reyes spearheads its annual Paley Fest and Paley Fest Fall TV Preview franchises, its ongoing series of conversations with the leading voices in media and its Los Angeles exhibitions. His programs for the Paley Center have honored the cast and creators of popular television series and icons who have changed or are changing the face of media. And the list here is crazy, guys. It's like Barbara Streisand, Ava DuVernay, Ryan Murphy, Shonda Rhimes, Greg Berlanti, Judd Apatow, Rita Moreno, George Lucas. I can keep going. I won't. But it's just tons and tons of, bold face names here. And I'm really excited to have Renee on to talk about this year's Paley Fest for a bunch of reasons, one of which is that they're returning to in-person programming for the first time in a couple of years. It's been a weird couple of years, Renee, and I assume you guys are excited to get everybody back in the Dolby Theater in L.A., right?
Well, first, Sonny, thank you so much for that lovely introduction and for all those. My gosh, you hear all those names, and I think, wow, how fortunate I've been to be able to do those things, and fortunate to be here today with you on your show.
Thank you.
Yes, in person. My gosh, yes, we've all been living this. Incredible and challenging experience for the last 2 years. And, on my end with the Paley Center and the events we do, we were aided by technology to be able to transition to virtual events pretty quickly and to still do a whole range of Paley Fest and our regular events for the last 2 years. So having that opportunity to be able to keep doing that has been, a great blessing throughout this time, but it's been 3 years now since we've had the chance to do Paley Fest in person and with an audience, which is the way that it was founded to be, some 40 years ago almost. So it's we're very much looking forward to it. It's very exciting.
Well, I mean, I have never been fortunate enough to attend Paley Fest, but I do see the YouTube clips, and the best thing about watching them is it's not just the folks talking about, what has happened on their TV series. It's not telling their stories. It's the reaction from the crowds. I mean, it's the laughter and the kind of, everybody being super into it that makes it feel like a different and kind of special event.
I think that's exactly it. We watch television in many ways. We watch it in our homes. We watch it on our phones and iPads and such, but often we're by ourselves or with our family members, or we're seldom at the Dolby Theater in Hollywood, where they do the Oscars, with a room full of people who love TV as much as you do, and the stars of the shows and the cast and the creators as well, too, right there on the stage. So to have that opportunity to have that communal experience of television with people who love the shows as much as you do, it just gives a whole different level of energy to the event. I found that oftentimes too, the cast and especially the creators of the shows haven't had that experience. Obviously, there's all manner of conversation events around and Comic-Con happens, of course, and does great panels. A lot of those are genre specific, where our Paley Fest lineup really is the whole range of television shows that might not be featured in Comic-Con as well. So oftentimes we'll have, like, we run a great screening usually to something, an unaired episode or forthcoming episode or behind the scenes clips as part of the event as well too. And oftentimes it'll be the first time that the cast or the creators have had a chance to see it on a big screen with an audience. And that adds a whole different layer to it as well. The energy is surely in the room from the fans and also from the people on stage.
Yeah. Well, I'll ask one more question about in-person, and we'll talk about the actual program here, because it's a crazy program. In terms of just making people, you know, feel comfortable, are you guys, is it going to be, you know, requiring vaccination proof or, you know, distance seatings? Like, how are you guys handling, you know, continued Absolutely. Worry and concern over COVID?
Well, you know, it's really, it's the most important thing that we've all been dealing with for the last 2 years, and safety and has been at the forefront of all the planning of this festival and the chance to be able to do it back in person. So, you know, we follow the science, we'll be following all the state and local guidelines for live audiences of our size. The Dolby Theater does require its guests to be either vaccinated or tested within 24 hours, and we'll be fully masked throughout the conversation as well, too. Mm-hmm. But yes, that's the most important thing we're doing, is ensuring people's safety, because you want to be comfortable to have that that level of enthusiasm. So
sure.
That's what we'll be following, all the state and local guidelines for the event. Yeah.
Great. Well, let's talk about the actual festival this year, because you mentioned that the festival does have a kind of broader kind of gamut of what TV is compared to, say, Comic-Con or something like that. And the one program, weirdly, that jumped, the one event from this year's lineup that jumped out at me was the Salute to the NCIS Universe, which I find really interesting, because NCIS, flagship franchise for a major network, tons and tons of people watch it, especially compared to some of the like more critically acclaimed shows like on cable or whatever. But it doesn't really get the sort of love that those programs get. And I want to talk what it's like to program a show like a lineup like that for, you know, your festival, or just in general. What's the vibe and the mood like there?
Sure. Well, that event in particular is one I'm really proud and excited for. It's the biggest event that we've ever done. We've never had that many people on stage as part of the event. We have, you know, obviously the franchise is beloved. It's sure. been almost 20 years that we've had NCIS as part of the television landscape. And across those years, it's retained so much of its fan base and grown with all these new sort of iterations and spinoffs of the show. So for that event in particular, we're celebrating NCIS, the flagship show, NCIS Los Angeles with Chris O'Donnell and LL Cool J, who has been a huge hit for the network as well. And then the newest installment, NCIS Hawaii, which is the first installment to be to have the lead person be a woman of color, which adds a whole different layer to the structure of the series and makes it exciting for us. So there'll be about 30 different people on stage, and we're doing three panels at that event, one panel for each show. So if you get come that afternoon, it's our matinee on our closing matinee on Sunday the 10th, you'll be able to see so many stars and three panels for the price of one event, yeah. basically. But, you know, these shows, as you mentioned, they have a huge audience on broadcast television, and then on their different streaming iterations on the network for on-demand viewing. Their fans are just as passionate as the fans for a genre show like Stranger Things or Superman and Lois and Riverdale, which mm-hmm. which we're featuring at the festival as well. They may not be on social media in the way that some of these other shows have fan bases, you know, geared to, but they're certainly there. And it's the NCIS has been one of the most requested shows that we get. I hear from members of the Paley Center throughout the year, because we're a membership, you know, based organization and a nonprofit, that they want to see this show. And I also hear from just attendees who've come to our events in the past that they want to have NCIS at the festival. So we're really excited to be able to deliver in a big way.
That's interesting. So as the programmer, are you pretty responsive to you know, member do members email you and say, hey, I'd really like to see, you know, NCIS or CSI, or I mean, you know, Succession, whatever. I mean, how does that, when you are sitting down to put together a program, how much does that factor into your thinking?
Well, it does factor in, because the audience is such a huge part of this event. Obviously, you want to have a festival that people come to, and and I want to be responsive to what we hear from our members. They email and they call, or they, you know, when we're doing the festival in person, they stop me and if they saw me and would say, oh, you know, you should do this this event. So it's NCIS is one of our most requested, but we look at a lot of things when we're planning the lineup. It's not just me. We have a curatorial team at the Paley Center. And we look at what's resonating in television at a given time, or what's resonated across time, how it fits in the television landscape, how it fits in the continuum of the television shows that we've had the pleasure of featuring on our stage. You know, across the 39 years of the festival, it's been everybody from Lucille Ball to, you know, Amy Poehler. So when you run that gamut, you get like this expansive view of what TV has been over across these decades, and a show like NCIS fits within that continuum because of how its broad appeal. It just is a show that has attracted an audience in a huge way and continues to do so over time. And that's just really, I mean, they're in season 19, I think, right now, and that's a huge accomplishment.
Yeah, I mean it is, and it's fascinating. Again, you just don't hear people talk about these big network TV shows. I think enough. I feel like there's not enough discussion of, you know, where the audience is for some of this stuff. On the other end of the spectrum, you do have shows like Hacks, which I love. Love Hacks, but it's on HBO Max. It's probably not quite as well seen or well known as NCIS. In terms of putting together that program, you know, are you targeting a slightly different audience? How does it work on your end in terms of attracting an audience for these things?
I think there probably is some crossover between the audiences for Hacks and This Is Us, and I agree with you that a lot of times the broadcast shows do not get as much of the attention in the press and on social media as a lot of the other shows that are, you know, in airing on streaming platforms, and I think, you know, it's always, streaming is still new in a lot of ways, even though we've had it for several years, but we're always more attracted to the what's new and bright and shiny in terms of what we're writing about. But there is such great work happening on broadcast on CBS and ABC and NBC and the CW, some of the most inventive shows on television, some of the, you know, great ensembles on TV. Hacks, I mean, Jean Smart has been a part of the festival over the years for a lot of the different series that she's been on, and how phenomenal to see where she is right now because of not only this show, but the incredible performance in Mare of Easttown this year. Yeah. So Hacks, I think, is one of the biggest stories out of TV this year, and it's an honor to be able to welcome them to the festival. I'm really looking forward to that one.
I imagine that'll be a great panel because Jean Smart is also very, very good at least I have heard in live settings, very, you know, funny and personable. So let's talk about some more of the lineup here. We mentioned the CW and genre stuff. Let's talk about Superman and Lois and Riverdale, which are you know, again, kind of genre-y. What are those panels going to look like? What are we doing there?
Well, Riverdale has always been a PaleyFest favorite. You know, we have had the pleasure of celebrating the show from its first season all the way to the present day, and the audiences at the festival really love it, and really love the cast are terrific, and they're so fun and funny on stage. So it's been, you know, we can't do them obviously every year, though some fans want to see them every year, of course. But it's nice to have them back after a little break. And Superman and Lois, you know, I love what that show is doing. Basically, how it's really made it a family drama. In some ways, there's parallels between This Is Us and what happens on Superman and Lois, except obviously it's Superman and the Kent family as opposed to the family on This Is Us. But I think their storylines are wonderful, and I love that they've made it such a family-centered show, and that dynamic is great on the show. I'm excited to be able to have them on stage.
You mentioned you threw out a phrase there that I really like, PaleyFest favorites. Who are some of the over the years, some of the PaleyFest favorites, shows that, you know, kind of come again and again, that are requested again and again, that folks are really into?
Sure. We had a real run with Community, the Joel McHale show. Sure. that was so beloved by its fans at the time. We had them almost every year that the show was on, just because there was such clamor from our audiences to have them back. And they would always plan something inventive and new. We did a live table read with the cast. Sometimes they introduced new characters. People would walk out on stage and, oh, they're joining the cast of Community. And that's always exciting. That show, the American Horror Story franchise, gave us some incredible events. Obviously, that's kind of a different show every year, but the ensemble mm-hmm. of actors would, I mean, when you have Sarah Paulson and Jessica Lange and Angela Bassett and Kathy Bates on stage, it's going to be pretty magical for the audience too, because they're having so much fun with it. So that show we had several times. As I mentioned, Riverdale is a big favorite. This Is Us has been, mm-hmm. well, can we just talk a little bit about This Is Us and
sure,
Black yeah. and Blackish, because they're both obviously series that they're celebrating their final seasons. And it's heartening because they're also series that we actually premiered at our fall festival before they aired. So mm-hmm. we did like one of the first panels with both This Is Us and Blackish. And I remember this, you know, we ran the pilot of This Is Us before it was broadcast. And I remember the audience just having that intake of breath at the end, because they were so surprised at the twist in the ending, that it was set up, that it was going to be, you know, time shifting throughout the show. And I was standing with Dan Fogelman, the creator of the show, in the back of the house when that moment actually happened. And I could see him, you know, feel that reaction too. And that was really fun. So to see,
was that the first time he had seen it with an audience?
I think with a,
or at least an audience that size.
Yeah. Or the public audience, with an audience that wasn't like the audiences that generally would sure. come to, you know, an advanced screening. It was just real people. So, and they were getting it and loving it. And Blackish, it was similar. The laughs were so strong for that screening, and then that ensemble is, you know, when you get these people together, it's just amazing. And to see, you know, the kids, we had these tiny little kids on the stage for that fall preview event, and now they're, you know, some of them have their own production companies and are you know, taking over television in their own right. So to have been part of that history, and then to be able to celebrate it on the way out and be part of it as well, again, it's really gratifying.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Blackish, as you mentioned, is in its final season as well.
Just an incredible show that's done. I mean, it's still at the top of its game. It, you know, harkens back to those the great Norman Lear shows, and the way it's been able to be topical and have so much social commentary infused throughout so many of its episodes, and done it with humor. And that humor is what always mm-hmm. connects us and helps change the world. And Blackish, I think, has certainly done that.
Yeah. All right. So what else? Cobra Kai is an interesting one here, because this is a show that has kind of jumped around a little bit between streaming services and has, I think, found a pretty comfortable home on Netflix. And I do think a big part of the story of TV right now is business. I mean, there's the artistry, of course, but there's also the business of TV. And Cobra Kai is a really interesting case study in the business of TV as it exists right now.
That's true. It's certainly a hugely popular franchise. I mean, well, first of all, you would never think that this could actually happen, that you know, 30 plus years after a movie franchise, that the original leads could come back and be in a television show that totally upends and creates something new out of, you know, a beloved movie franchise that's had several different iterations on the screen. But it's totally new. It's totally charmed audiences and found a huge audience. Obviously, I think there's still the great nostalgia factor of seeing Ralph Macchio and William Zabka doing great work, by the way, just having a ball with what they're doing. Mm-hmm. That's a big draw for this series, but it has a huge following amongst a lot of young people who love the younger actors on the show as well, too. Yeah, it's I'm happy to have them. I was able to do an event with them outside of the festival that was really popular, and to be able to bring them onto the stage is exciting.
Yeah, that's going to be a fun show. I want to get your take on, again, kind of the shifting landscape of the business. Because, I mean, since you have been at the Paley Center, I mean, we've seen the rise of pay cable, yeah. HBO, FX, and the rest. We've seen now the rise of streaming with Netflix and HBO Max and Prime Video and the rest. And it is kind of a weird situation where you have more... We have more options than ever, and at the same time, with such audience fragmentation, it can be kind of hard to figure out what everybody's talking about, what everybody's watching, and really is hitting the zeitgeist, if you will.
That's very true, and it's not only true of television. I think it's obviously true of just the world and our culture in general being very fragmented and siloed. I think television in some ways breaks through that. And I think that's reflected in how broad the lineup for the festival is. But there is so much content out there, so many shows to watch. When I first started working with the Paley Center, as you mentioned, and I hadn't even really thought about that, how much just the landscape has changed and the different ways to experience television. Mainly still the broadcast shows and, you know, HBO and Showtime and some of the cable outlets that had big series, but streaming wasn't even a blink. It was about a decade later and Netflix was still sending DVDs out in little red packets in the mail. Who knew that it could explode so quickly, and that all of these, you know, content providers, studios and networks would have to adapt very fast to what Netflix really made happen. And now everyone has some kind of streaming platform, and the amazing amount of outlets there are for content. It's a golden age of television. There's some of the best television ever being produced, and a lot of it doesn't get seen just because there's so much of it. Yeah. But at the festival, we're thrilled to be able to give shows that might not get all the as much of the coverage as other shows, give them a platform, because they certainly merit it, and their audience certainly merits it. If you look at the ratings across television, you can see what an NCIS is achieving, and it makes it a viable show for us to have.
Yeah. I let me ask, from your perspective as a programmer, is it easier or harder now to program in terms of, look, there are more shows than ever to choose from. So there are more possible topics. At the same time, trying to find events that will appeal to ticket buying customers, to the members of the Paley Center, et cetera. Is it easier or harder now?
It's hard. It's challenging, and it's obviously even more challenging when you add the specter of the pandemic, and you know, people, adapted to what we were able to do at that time with virtual programs, and then we're all still getting used to being able to be in person again. So that adds a whole other layer of complexity. I think because we've done this for so long, and we have a track record, and I think that part of it, I have confidence in our team and our ability to pick the shows that folks want to see at the festival, just because we don't take it lightly. We do obviously hear from feedback, and we try to program to that feedback while also keeping certain that we're also following our own mission to really celebrate, creative excellence and what's happening on television right now, so that we can, because all those conversations that we do, besides being the live events that happens, we obviously tape all of them, and they become part of this archive, which is the core of our organization. We preserve 160,000 television programs spanning the history of the medium. And along with those programs, we have this sort of visual and audio record of the creators in the moment and the stars and actors talking about how they made it happen. So that's also at the, part of the mix of what makes us decide we want to do something, is we also want to have that record to make sure we're creating this chronicle of television that you can step back from 50 years from now and say, oh, yes, that's why we this show was so popular at the time.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm familiar with the Paley Center, obviously, but I know, you know, folks out there who are listening might not be. Could you actually just, I should have asked this way at the beginning, back at the beginning of the show, but could you just describe a little bit about the Paley Center's mission and what you guys are, you know, attempting to do?
As I mentioned before, we are a nonprofit organization, basically set up over almost 50 years ago now to celebrate television and to preserve its creative legacy. William S. Paley, who was the founder of the CBS Television Network and CBS Radio, and it's such an extraordinary creative force in television from its infancy, really, founded us because he saw that nobody else was doing it. There was nobody, especially at the time, preserving the history of television, nobody thinking that it was something that needed to, that an art form that needed to be preserved. So he set up the it was called the Museum. Museum of Broadcasting was our first name. And then we changed to the Museum of Television and Radio for multiple years. And then became the Paley Center, just to sort of reflect the changing media landscape. The fact that that television wasn't only available on your TV set at home on the broadcast networks, but it was available in so many ways. So it became the Paley Center for Media. At the core, we is our archive. It's the largest publicly accessible archive of its kind. You can come over to the Paley Center in New York and soon again in LA and view this extraordinary collection of television. And, you know, everybody thinks that, oh, if all TV is on, you know, you can see everything on YouTube or on some streaming channel, but you can't. You really can't. A huge part of the legacy of TV isn't available anywhere else but the Paley Center. So we preserve that. And then across all of these years, we've hosted programs and festivals and exhibits and screenings at our locations that help us tell the story of television and also help us to preserve its legacy. All the details are at our website, paleyfest.org for the festival, but that connects you to the whole organization as well too. And we'd love to have more members join us. It's what makes all this work possible.
Yeah. And we should say tickets are available now to the general public for Paley Fest. Is it paleyfest.org? Go there. You can you can purchase individual days, right? As you don't have to buy the whole festival package, right?
Exactly. We have passes that get you front row access to every event, and we have packages that combine three events together. Or you can buy individual tickets and select a seat for the event that you want to come to. And everything's at paleyfest.org.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah, go to paleyfest.org, check it out. I think we actually talked about all... the one show we have not mentioned, Netflix's Emily in Paris.
A phenomenon on television right now. They just got, two additional seasons just about a week ago. I can't say it's airing right now. It just, they dropped their season just a couple weeks ago. And it's one of those water cooler shows, if you can call them water cooler anymore, where the virtual water cooler people are talking about. Exactly.
Slack show.
And loving. And it's another one of those shows that we premiered during, actually, that's funny. I hadn't thought of it. We did it as part of the fall preview in the virtual space. So I really think that this first, this event that we're doing is probably going to be the first event that they've done with an audience, with a public audience of the show's fans. So that's going to be really fun to see their reaction to 2,500 people at the Dolby Theater cheering as they come on stage.
Well, that's great. I always like to end the show by asking if there's anything I should have asked, if there's anything you want to tell folks about Paley Fest or the Paley Center in general or TV in general. I mean, anything that you think folks should know that I failed to ask about?
Well, Sonny, you're an excellent host and you've asked very thorough questions. In terms of the Paley Center, as I mentioned, we're a member-based community, nonprofit. I encourage folks to become a member and get access to these events throughout the year and to get the first chance to get tickets and really to help. If you love TV and want to help preserve its legacy, that's become a member. We're our organization is as good as its membership, and we have a pretty great membership, and we get to do lots of great events. In terms of the festival, we're going to have fun. We're all looking forward to the spring and to being had to have the opportunity to do something like this the way it's supposed to be done in person, and I think it's going to be really special. And I hope your listeners will join us on this adventure and come to paleyfest.org for all the details.
Paleyfest.org, go get your tickets. If you're out in LA, it's a fun time. Like I said, I have never actually gotten to go, but I do love the YouTube clips that I have seen afterwards. It looks like a really exciting space to be in, and I'm glad everybody can get back in there.
Well, it would be more exciting, Sunny, if you made the trek out from, you're in DC, right? Oh, in Dallas. Okay, I'm in Dallas now.
I'm closer. It's a short flight. I'll run it by my wife. I'll see if she can watch the kids for a couple days while I get out there. I am Sunny Bunch. I'm culture editor at The Bulwark. Thanks again for joining me, Renee. I really appreciate it. And I will be back next week with another episode of The Bulwark Goes to Hollywood. See you guys then.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.